Reading from Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray. You may not enter into temptation. Spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for a second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs, the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." He came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." And they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. Reading from Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 59. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is this that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Reading from Luke 23, beginning at verse 1. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." They were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. Chief priests and scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. From the Gospel of Mark, the 15th chapter, beginning at verse 6. Now at the feast he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. The crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" They shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. Having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Reading again from the Gospel of Matthew, 27th chapter, verse 32. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. When he tasted it, he would not drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put a charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. Those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. God, our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the crucified. There's an old story about a young man in the heydays of people sculpting who passed by a sculptor at work. And having not witnessed it before, became immensely fascinated with what he was doing. Every day he would come by and sit for quite some time watching the sculptor work with stone, chiseling out a figure within it. After some time had passed, sculptor finished. The young man who had sat silently throughout the whole process marveled when he turned it around and showed it to him and said, What do you think? He said, It is beautiful. But I have to ask you a question. Ask away, the sculptor said. The young man said to him, How did you know that that was inside of that rock? I've often remarked to you before about the oddity of the object at the front of most Christian churches. An object of torture. One of the worst, if not the worst, ever devised by humanity. And yet, as we gaze upon such an ugly thing, we see in it beauty. That's one of the mysteries of the cross. And because of that cross and the beauty hidden within it, it is able to transform stone into something beautiful. I read to you the words of Ezekiel chapter 11. Verse 19. And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh, give them a heart of flesh. Down through the ages, a on occasions too numerous to count, including our own lives. The cross has been doing that very thing, turning stone into a thing of beauty. Taking horrible, ugly objects, us sinners, and finding within them something that the world without the cross cannot find or see. It happened on that very day that our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. There was a detail of Roman soldiers in charge of him. Before bringing him out to be crucified, Pilate had ordered him brutally scourged. But as scripture records it, the soldiers seemed to take pleasure in what they were doing, and the one watching over them didn't seem too worried about stopping it. They not only whipped him, but they beat him. They mocked him, they spit in his face. And when they had had enough, they marched him out to be crucified, stripped him, cast lots for his clothing. And yet for these very same men who had been treating him so cruelly, Christ believed there could be something of beauty within them. As he's being lifted up on the cross, viewing the man who had treated him so cruelly, he prays to his Father, "Father, give them. But they know not what they are doing." While he's being crucified, the mockery continues. And if we had only the account of Matthew, we would presume that both the robbers, throughout the entire time that he was being crucified, joined in that mockery. But when we read in the Gospel of Luke, those words of Jesus, the events that were taking place, began, if you will, to chip away at a heart of stone. At some point in time, he receives a heart of flesh. He begins to scold the other robber crucified along with him. But in doing so, also admits what he's been. You didn't get crucified for minor crimes in those days. You had to be either very hated, as was Jesus, or very guilty. Major crimes. one robber crucified along with Jesus, suddenly has a heart, a stony heart that is changed. The man he sees before him. After scolding that other thief, he turns to Jesus. And he sees in Jesus something that, well, it didn't look like a savior at that time. It looked like just a man dying on a cross like he was. A man who was powerless. But in that cross, through the faith being created in his heart, he says to Jesus, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." Jesus says to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Which he was. To the world, a heart of stone, just one more criminal to be done away with. To the cross, the stone was chipped away. Something of beauty was created within. It doesn't end there. Jesus himself could see because he had complete trust in his heavenly Father. Things that the world could not see. And we heard a few moments ago that mournful call of Jesus. In Hebrew, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, in English, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It looked like this was an abandoned man. In his flesh, Jesus felt that. But despite all the suffering that he endured, in spite of the fact in a mystery of all ages, one will probably never be able to comprehend. Even though God the Father had turned his back on his Son and allowed him to feel the full pangs of hell, Jesus finally dies. What are the words from his lips? Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Beauty he could see. Where there didn't seem to be any. Then there was that man in charge of the crucifixion of Jesus, and most likely the one in charge of scourging, who probably joined in the mocking. A hardened soldier killed many and probably never felt much anymore. A heart of stone, if there ever was one. But I read from the end of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." A heart of stone. But through the hands of a Savior, through those hands driven through with nails, and through the cross, stone had been chipped away to reveal a thing of beauty created within. By that cross, that ugly torture device we gather in front of week after week and worship at. To this day, the cross reveals its power. Brings hope to those who are in despair. Changes stony hearts to hearts of flesh. How? By forgiveness. By taking the anger, pent up inside of us for sins committed against us, laying it aside, and recognizing that the blood of Jesus has paid for all sins. Down throughout history, stories upon stories can be told of hearts that were changed by those who do evil, to those filled with anger and hatred of others, people like this centurion, people like that thief on the cross, maybe someone you know, who are changed. When instead of receiving anger and vengeance for their deeds, receive forgiveness, compassion, those they have wronged. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the night that he died, changed hearts. Chiseled away at hearts of stone by the forgiveness that he showed, by the hope that he offered, by trusting in his own deliverance even from death, knowing that his Father would in 3 days join with him in his resurrection. We have gathered here this evening because we believe the cross changes things. Let us also live that way each and every day, trusting for ourselves in God's forgiveness and in God's hope, but in a world filled with hearts of stone, where anger abounds, hatred abounds, vengeance abounds. Let us commit ourselves to using the same tools that our Lord and Savior used to chip away at those hearts of stone, to reveal a heart of flesh, a thing of beauty in the eyes of the Lord. By the power of his forgiveness, his love, and his hope. Amen. We continue reading at Luke chapter 23, the 46th verse. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. All his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Reading from the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter at verse 31. Since it was the day of preparation and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who had been crucified with him. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. These things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. Again, another scripture says, they will look on him who they have years. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that there might be taken away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away the body. Nicodemus also, who had earlier come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great love you have shown to us, your willingness to send your Son into this world, to suffer the pangs of hell and death itself, to endure abandonment by you in that great mystery of the cross, so that in him the punishment we might deserve might be fully paid for. And that in his glorious resurrection on Easter morning, the life we forfeited might be reborn through the life he now lives. Lord, we live in a world of stony hearts. Through the power of your forgiving love, through the power of your hope, transform our lives. And through our testimony, through our love and our forgiveness, and our sharing of the hope we have, transform the lives of others. Take from them their hearts of stone. Replace them with the gospel, with hearts of flesh. Pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who on this night gave his life, we might have life with you. Amen. Depart in the peace of the Lord.